whiskey is the thing. It makes you feel so frisky, it makes you laugh and sing. So let's all have a ceilidh and have a lot of fun. Let's drink to good old whiskey, there's a dram for everyone. Now whiskey is the devil, so some people say, but that's a lot of nonsense, for we're all here today. No evil thoughts among us, just out to have some play. So drink your good old whiskey and we'll chase our cares away. Here's the Scottish whiskey, whiskey is the thing. It makes you feel so frisky, it makes you laugh and sing. So let's all have a ceilidh and have a lot of fun. Let's drink to good old whiskey, there's a dram for everyone. Wherever Scotsmen gather, no matter where they roam, they love to get together and sing the songs of home. The mountain glens and valleys, the rivers flowing free, and always while they're singing, they've a dram or two or three. Here's to Scottish whiskey, whiskey is the thing. It makes you feel so frisky, it makes you laugh and sing. So let's all have a ceilidh and have a lot of fun. Let's drink to good old whiskey, there's a dram for everyone. Marching o'er the heather or strolling through the glen, you'll always hear the tourists say, here I be back again. But it isn't just the scenery or the days of auld lang syne, it's whiskey, good old whiskey, that makes our land so fine. Here's to Scottish whiskey, whiskey is the thing. It makes you feel so frisky, it makes you laugh and sing. So let's all have a ceilidh and have a lot of fun. Let's drink to good old whiskey, there's a dram for everyone. Let's drink to good old whiskey, there's a dram.
What a wonderful day to be alive. It's raining outside, or it was.
And we're dry inside.
And we're dry inside. High atop the Claiborne building, the penthouse suite.
Overhoping.
How are you, Colonel? Go ahead.
Doing fine. Had kind of a fright. The lightning struck a pole right outside my window. Took me a while to get over that, but other than that, it's okay.
Black Dog, you happy? I know you're not happy. It's storming.
It's storming, but it seems like we've gotten past the worst.
I think so. It was supposed to get out of here by 4 o'clock. I see clear skies back there to the west, northwest.
Is it now?
How are you, Tori?
There's a poem book that the Colonel reads every day. It's called Joy in the Morning.
Yeah?
So, you know, things look bad for a while, but in a little while they clear up. That's me.
Works out.
Okay, so anyway, a little Bible trivia today that we will be doing. A very short discussion about a book, two books by Nathaniel T. Jensen regarding the origin of the species. And if we run out of things to talk about, I brought a Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to talk about the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Very interesting examination of the Lord's Prayer. But we also have some information from our Right Reverend Christopher D. Pierce from Northern Ireland. And I'm sure the Colonel's got some history. And I'm certain that Black Dog has some commentary.
Oh, he always does.
And we also have some correspondence that we apparently reach into Suwannee, Tennessee, because a man sent me some information about the Anglican Church that I needed to know about. So anyway, just little pieces of insignificant information, and I'm sure everybody in the Flathead's got us some good humor coming up, and I will shut up and let Reaver finish talking to see who's got what.
Yeah, how are you, Flathead?
I'm motivated, even though it did storm a little bit. We had a pretty good day. I didn't get completely drowned, but I did have to change clothes.
Well, you shouldn't have been out in it.
Well, I got caught up at the barn. I was afraid for a long time to come back to the house, and it finally let up a little bit, but it did mess up my hairdo.
Yeah, I'm sorry
You need to learn like Black Dog does. He's the only person I've ever seen that has learned how to dodge raindrops.
He's good at it, ain't he?
Engineer number one, how are you today, sir?
I'm fine. Glad to be here. And didn't get too wet, and I'm glad my power didn't go out. I was afraid it was going to go out, but it didn't.
I think at the house, I think it was about like you said, I had about a five-minute storm, and it was done. But, yeah, boy, it was that five minutes was...
Yeah, there was hail coming down.
That 5 minutes was rough.
That was hail, wasn't it?
That was. Hell on earth. We'll be right back.
How do you spell that? H-A-I-L.
H-A-Y.
Ah, Tim Finnegan lived in Walking Street, a gentleman Irish mighty odd. He had a brown boat, rich and sweet, and to rise in the world he carried a hod. Ah, but Tim and a bit of a Tim on his way, well, I love the liquor he was born. And to send him on his way each day, he'd drop at the crater every morn. What will it now when you dance to your partner around the floor with your trotters shake? Isn't it the truth? I tell you, lots of fun at Finnegan's wake. Now one morning Tim was rather full, his head felt heavy, which made him shake. He fell off the ladder and he broke his skull. Then they carried him home, his corpse to wake. Oh, they wrapped him up in a nice clean sheet. They laid him out upon the bed, with a bottle of whiskey at his feet and a bottle of porter at his head. Whack, pull it out, you lads, to your partner around the floor with your trotter shake. Isn't it the truth? I tell you, lots of fun at Finnegan's wake. And his friends assembled at the wake, and Mrs. Finnegan called for lunch. Well, first she brought them tea and cake, then pipes, tobacco and brandy punch. Then the widow Malone began to cry, "Ah, such a lovely corpse did you ever see? Must you Tim aboard and why did you die? Will you howl your gobs as Molly McGee? Why pull it down when you dance to your partners around the floor with your trotters shake? Isn't it the truth? I tell you, lots of fun at Finnegan Wake." Oh, well, Mary Murphy took up the job. Ah, Biddy, she you're wrong, I'm sure. Well, Biddy fetched her a belt and a gob and left her sprawling on the floor. A civil war did then engage. 'Twas woman to woman and man to man. Shillelagh law was all the rage, and a row and a ruction it soon began. Whack, pull it out, will you dance to your partner around the floor with your trotters shake? Isn't it the truth? I tell you, lots of fun at Finnegan's wake. Oh, Tim Maloney ducked his head when a bottle of whiskey flew at him. He ducked and landing on the bed, the whiskey scatters over Tim. I'll be daddy revives and see how he rises. Tim Finnegan rising in the bed, saying, "Twiddle your whiskey around like blazes. Be the turnit and jazzy, do you think I'm dead? Whack, pull it out, will you dance to your partners around the floor with your trotters shake? Isn't it the truth? I tell you, lots of fun at Finnegan's wake. How would you know one
game ball?"
Stanley Lee Holmes, 66, of Ringgold, passed away on January 11th. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday, January 16th, in the chapel of Wilson Funeral Home. A visitation will be held that morning from 11 a.m. until service time. A burial will follow at Anderson Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is entrusted to Wilson Funeral Home, Wallace Stewart Chapel, Ringgold. James William Blaylock, 88, of Ringgold, passed away on Tuesday, January 10th. The family will receive friends on Tuesday from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. at the funeral home, and on Wednesday from 8 a.m. until the time of the service. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, January 18th, in the funeral home chapel with Pastor Rob Borders. Burial will follow in the Chattanooga National Cemetery. Arrangements by W.L. Wilson and Son Funeral Homes, Fort Oglethorpe.
Tassia Renee Anderson. I'm not sure that I enunciated her first name right. It's T-A-S-I-A. 61, of Ringgold, went home to be with her Lord and Savior on Thursday, January 12th, 2023. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, that's January 14th, in the Fort Oglethorpe Chapel with Pastor Charles Knight officiating. Burial will follow in the Tennessee Georgia Memorial Park. The family will receive friends from 4 to 8 p.m. on Friday and prior to the service on Saturday at the funeral home. Arrangements by W.L. Wilson and Sons Funeral Home, Fort Oglethorpe.
Frances Marie Gilbert, 82, of Ringgold, went home to be with the Lord January the 8th, 2022, at the age of 82. A graveside service was held at Anderson Memorial Gardens on Wednesday, January the 11th, at 3 p.m., with Mark Askew officiating. Arrangements was by Wilson Funeral Home, Stewart Chapel. Max Alder Talifro, 79, of Ringgold, passed away on Saturday, January the 7th. He was a retired U.S. Marine Corps as a gunny sergeant. Funeral service were held at 12 a.m. Tuesday in the funeral home chapel with Dr. Keith Malloy officiating. Interment was at Chattanooga National Cemetery with military honors. Heritage Funeral Home and Crematory, Battlefield Parkway, in charge of the arrangements.
Engineer number one, you said last week you had one you wanted to talk.
Well, I'll mention it again. A good friend of mine that I grew up with, Preston Allen, passed away. And I was looking for his obituary, and he's in California. He grew up here. And then when he got out of high school, he left, and his brother was in California, so he went out to California, and he's been there ever since. But
he came home occasionally.
Oh, he came home all the time, and all the time wanted to come back home. That was his goal, was to get back to Coosa County. But his children and his wife's family were out there, so it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, there is something in California about burial, and you have to wait 10 days before you can have the funeral or something. I don't know. So I still don't have his obituary. But he retired and lived in Grass Valley, California, which is northern California, not far from Lake Tahoe. Anyway, he was.
He'll be missed by his family. He was a nice fellow. I'm sure he was a good daddy.
Yeah,
too.
He used to. He'd come home and we'd visit. And anyway, he'll be missed. He'll be missed.
Okay, Colonel.
Alfredo Gonzalez, Sergeant, U.S. Marine Corps. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity the rest of his life, above and beyond the call of duty while serving as a platoon commander, 3rd Platoon Company A. On 31 January 68, during the initial phase of Operation Hue City, Sergeant Gonzalez's unit was formed as a reaction force and deployed to Hue to relieve the pressure on the beleaguered city. While moving by truck convoy along Route 1 near the village of Langby Long, the Marines received heavy volume of enemy fire. Sergeant Gonzalez aggressively maneuvered the Marines in his platoon and directed their fire until the area was cleaned of snipers. Immediately after crossing the river south of Hue, the column was again hit with intense enemy fire. One of the Marines on top of the tank was wounded, fell to the ground in an exposed position. With complete disregard for his safety, Sergeant Gonzalez ran through the fire-swept area to the assistance of his injured comrade. He lifted him up, though receiving fragmentation wounds. During the rescue, he carried the wounded Marine to cover position for treatment. Due to the increased volume and accuracy of the enemy fire from a fortified machine gun bunker on the side of the road, the company was temporarily halted. Realizing the gravity of the situation, he exposed himself to the enemy fire and moved his platoon along the east side of a bordering rice paddy to a dike directly across from the bunker. Though fully aware of the danger involved, he moved the fire-swept road and destroyed the hostile position with hand grenades. Although seriously wounded again, on 3 February, he steadfastly refused medical treatment and continued to supervise his men and lead the attack. On 4 February, the enemy had again pinned the company down, inflicting heavy casualties with automatic weapon and rocket fire. He utilized a number of light anti-tank assault weapons, fearlessly moved from position to position, firing numerous rounds at the heavily fortified enemy emplacements. He successfully knocked out a rocket position and suppressed most of the enemy fire before falling mortally wounded. the heroism, courage, and dynamic leadership displayed by Sergeant Gonzalez reflected great credit upon himself and the Marine Corps in keeping the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Services. He gallantly gave his life for his country.
And as is our custom, before we read this section of John, a little story about Preston Allen. I was 11 years old, and I had snuck behind the barn with a friend and smoked a cigarette. And I was told on by my sister to Preston. And when he saw me, he grabbed me by the ankles and held me upside down and said, "You're not going to smoke any more cigarettes now, are you?" So anyway,
peace.
So anyway, John 15:13, we read after the reading of the Medal of Honor citation. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And further our toast to the departed and members of their family. Eternally happy are they who find themselves face to face with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today, sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty."
Peace be thine.
Peace be thine.
Amazing grace, oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first.
Looking at the Catoosa County News, dated Wednesday, January the 11th, 2019.
2023. And a little bit in the paper, not a whole lot, but the head article or the main article is about the new handicap park that's going to be built in Ringgold. And it talks a lot about it and the need for it and so on. And
where is it located?
Well, that's the question my wife had. And if you look through this article,
you never
there
find
is
it.
Absolutely nothing in here to tell you where it is, except that it's supposed to be in Ringgold. Now, I think I know where it's going to be.
It said Crossroads, didn't it?
It's over, going to be over here near Patriot Hall, near it, I think. But they don't say a word about that in here.
Well, that makes it easy for the handicapped to find it.
Yeah, right.
If they don't say
anyway,
where it is.
I thought was interesting part of this is they've hired themselves an expert architect, which is fine. And the estimate on the construction cost, which doesn't include any of the site clearing or land preparation, is $750,000.
And
they have a total right now of accumulated funds of $53,000.
Does that include wheelchair pushers?
I don't think it does. I think it's just they're going to give you access. But anyway, you know, they're going to have to get a windfall somewhere, or it's going to be a while before this happens, I'm afraid.
That reminds me of Herod. It took Herod 40 years to do to redo the temple.
Yeah.
And he used that to keep everybody calm, you know. Herod's not very good, but at least he's doing our temple.
Yeah, that's right. he
sang that song for 40 years.
There's another article in here about the SPLOT money, the sales tax proceeds, and it's talking about how they're going to divvy it up. And apparently after every census, the municipalities have to get together and agree upon how the funds will be divided. So we have the city of Ringgold, city of Fort Oglethorpe, and the county. And they give some statistics here, and they say that over the course of the last 10 years, they estimate $100 million has come into the county and the two cities. So it's an important revenue source for them. So I'm curious if anybody wants to guess, because they have in here, they had to sit down, and they didn't get very far until the deadline, which was the end of this year. They had to turn their agreement into the state on how that was going to be done. So what do you think the percentages are?
Well, I think Black Dog knows.
Well, if you know, don't.
Well, we talked about it last week.
Oh, well, what did we say? I don't remember it.
They're keeping everything the same as it was. They're going to revisit.
No.
Yeah, that's what it said. That's what it said last week.
Well, I've got the article here, and they are not the same.
Well, that means that you were misinformed, or it means that he's misinformed.
Well, I'm just reading.
So we're going
to find out.
I'm just reading what the article says.
That's right. Just like they didn't know where the recreation thing was
going. So, what percentage for the year 2023? What percentage do you think Catoosa County will get?
42.
70.
You got it right on the money, Colonel.
Wow.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. 70%. And how much does Fort Oglethorpe get?
15.
21. 20.99%. 21%.
Okay.
So and that leaves
18.
9.01% for the city of Ringgold. So anyway, and then what they have to do is agree on the next 10 years, not just what's going to happen in 2023. And so they have a sliding scale here that basically the county's portion reduces slowly and Fort Oglethorpe and Ringgold's progressively goes up a little. So in 2032, which who knows what's going to happen in 2032, Catoosa County will get 62%, Fort Oglethorpe 26.6%, and Ringgold a little 11.4%. So anyway, that's how the breakdown of the SPLOT funds has been decided.
That's local option sales tax, right? Or just plain sales tax?
No, that's the local option.
Okay.
They call it lost.
Yeah.
Do we have to vote on that again?
It didn't. If we do, it didn't comment on it.
So well, I don't know. If it's a local option sales tax, there's going to have to be a vote. It does not go on forever.
Is it 5 years? It has
to be voted sometime. Yeah. They do not vote a tax. None of these option taxes last forever.
It may have said in this article, and I missed it, but it doesn't say anything. I don't read anything in here about when. But I would think that you're right, that they're going to have to vote on it. But I guess that what they want to do is agree upon it and then vote on it. I don't know. Anyway, that's the local option sales tax. And then, let's see.
Another local thing that we should talk about is the event at the depot, which is going to be on what date, Reaver?
January 21.
Beginning at what time?
6 o'clock.
And we're going to have who present at that event for the WAAK?
Well, hopefully a lot of people.
Right.
The Ringo Retro Players are going to put us on a show.
And what's the name of the show?
Jane Does Jury Duty.
So there will be radio.
Funny. It is so funny.
There are radio actors that are going to be standing on stage reading scripts into microphones.
Just like they did in the old days, stand around and read the script.
Yeah.
You don't have to memorize it.
And those that have received invitations must RSVP, I would say, by the middle of next week.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they ain't going to make it.
That's right. But the public is invited to come in at, 7:30?
Yeah, about 7:30 when the meal's over.
It's free to the public.
Yep.
Doors will open at 7:30, and when it fills up, the players will do their show.
You know what it costs to rent the depot for one night?
I know what it costs to rent it over the weekend. One day is $750.
Yeah. It cost us $1,000.
Ooh.
For one night?
That doesn't seem right.
Well, that includes the equipment.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, it's $1,000.
And the dinner is more.
I spent a weekend.
Yeah, I know.
Loading the garbage out of that place into three pickup trucks. And then vacuum. We tried sweeping the floor, but the dust just went up in the air and came back down again. So we had to vacuum. I have vacuumed that depot twice. And now they're going to charge me $1,000 to get in.
Yep. Well, you don't have to pay $1,000. The radio station has paid $1,000. For you, as with everything else in life, it's free.
Well, I will say this, that the Catoosa County Historical Society is very grateful to the city of Ringgold for partnering with the Historical Society in the upcoming February meeting on Saturday the 18th for the Andrews Raid program. And so the Historical Society will not have to pay a fee because the city visitors and convention and visitors bureau met with us and agreed to partner with us, and therefore we don't have to pay that fee.
Is that an anniversary of the...
I think it is.
What day did you say that was?
It's going to be the 18th of February.
Why would they do that for you, being a nonprofit, and not do it for the radio station, which is a nonprofit?
Because you did not go before the visitors and the convention and visitors bureau and meet with those individuals and suggest that to them.
Ah, so I did not go on bended knee.
You don't have to go on bended knee.
And kiss the ring of the dead Pope.
No. You could have gone, and first of all, you could have asked them to partner with you. They're a member of this town, just like the radio station is.
You've still got a few days. You could try.
They wouldn't even give us a discount, man.
Yeah.
I asked.
Oh, you did?
They wouldn't even give us a discount.
Well, they were nice
to us.
Well,
they don't like the Clan Kayleigh show.
Apparently.
Well, they realize, goodness, there have been 750 of those things?
Anyway, I want to put in a plug for Ringgold and them helping us out. And they're going to be a partner. They're going to be one of the sponsors. We're going to have tables. And we have a real lineup. I'll go into more detail as time goes on, but we're going to have people from Kennesaw. Museum in Atlanta. They're going to come down. They're going to have a table and bring speakers. We're going to have all of the museums, the National Park Service in Chickamauga is going to be here, and they're going to have a table. We're going to have the Heritage Center downtown Chattanooga is going to have a table. They will be here. We're going to have the Tunnel Hill Museum will be here with a table. The Dalton Whitfield County Convention Center will have a table. They'll be here. The City of Ringgold will have one. And there are more. There are more than I haven't listed them all. So,
well, another question. I got a call from Ethan when y'all were doing your show, and I didn't quite understand what he was saying because cell phone was messed up.
Here's the story, and you got here late or you would have heard it. What happened was when our speaker showed up night before last, he did not bring a computer to show his presentation. And so we do not have a speaker system that will allow us to use the computer to show the images for the presentation and at the same time be able to broadcast over the radio.
Well, that's...
And that's our problem. And we can solve it. It only takes money.
I see.
So, we buy us another sound system and we'll be good to go. But right now... that was the problem.
Well,
and as a matter of fact, we did not know this until about 3 minutes until 7.
Okay.
Ethan had already called up, and he had control of the computer before we figured out it wasn't going to work. So I had to call Ethan back and tell him, oh, by the way, could you disconnect from our computer so we can actually use it?
Okay.
So anyway, I'm sorry about that, but we've got some work to do on that to make it work. But that's unusual. Normally that doesn't happen.
This is also local. Was you through?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is your mail safe? College professor says maybe not.
Yeah, I was going to comment it, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just read it in the paper, and used to the mail was sacred, but they said around Christmas people was... seeing what Granny was saying to their grandbaby, see if any money was in it and all that. And
well, they're saying here in this article that that the mail, that thieves, and there's different categories of them, are using the mail to steal your identity, to steal checks in the mail. They even talk about that they, like if you wrote a check to somebody, they'll take that letter, take the check out of it, and they have a way to erase who it was written to and put somebody else's name and put another amount on it. So thieves are doing that, and they're using it for all sorts of things.
When I was living up in Mount Prospect, we had a problem with somebody stealing mail out of our mailbox, and I called up the post office and I said, we've got somebody stealing our mail. And he said, what do you want us to do? I said, watch our mailbox. And he said, so you want us to put an inspector to watch your mailbox? You have to call the police. So I called the police, and they said, no, that's the post office responsibility. So I called the post office back, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do once it leaves the mailman's hands. I said, my mailbox says property of U.S. Postal Service. I don't know what yours says. So I called the police back, and I said, look, I'm putting a camera up to watch my mailbox. You better hope that you catch him before I do, because if I catch him first, I'm torturing him for a week before you get him.
Well, this article talks about things you can do to secure your mail, and one of the things it says is to have the mail delivered to you when you're there and or deliver it somewhere else where somebody's going to be there to take it.
Or get a P.O. box.
And it talks about getting a P.O. box. It says when you mail a letter, don't put it in these blue drop boxes. Take it inside the post office and mail it inside the building.
My gosh.
It said...
So they're picking them out of the blue box?
Yeah. Oh, well, it says thieves are getting these they call them arrow keys, these special keys that will unlock any mailbox. They have like a master key that will unlock them, and said thieves will go in and take everything. In other words, there might be, you know, 400 or 500 letters or whatever in those drop boxes, and they'll just take the whole thing, carry it off, and part of it they'll use, part of it they just throw away.
Speaking of the mail, about 2 weeks ago, WAAK got a donation of $1,000 from one of our listeners.
Well, praise the Lord.
Just wrote us a check for $1,000.
That's great.
Basically saying thank you.
We thank him.
Was he within the county?
He lives in Walker County.
So he's able to receive the signal, or does he watch it on on computer?
No, he listens to the radio.
No, I mean,
he listens three ways. One, from his dashboard of his car. Secondly, he lives on Lookout Mountain. And thirdly, I think he lives on Lookout Mountain. And thirdly, he listens on his cell phone when he's out of the area.
Okay. Well, good for him.
He's
not one of your golf buddies, is he?
Actually, I'm not going to mention his name, but you know who it is.
Okay. All right.
He's not one of my golf buddies.
Okay. Anyway, it talks about the mail, and I'm thinking about it's amazing the things they say to do, none of which I do.
You used to work for his daddy, and I'm not going to tell you. Let's don't mention him.
Okay, I got an idea.
But you know, like Black Dog said, the mail was almost sacred when I was a kid. I mean, you know, you just didn't mess with nobody's mail or their mailbox. Times has changed.
But it even recommends don't mail, pay your bills through the postal service, but pay them online so that a hacker then can hack into your computer and then steal everything you got.
Can we morph this into what's happening in New York?
Which one?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it is the inability to obey the rule of law.
Oh, yeah, well.
There are so many people that you're talking flat top about when you were a kid. Every kid knew you didn't mess with the U.S. mail.
Yeah.
And so you just didn't do it.
That's right.
It was not something, well, there might be something. Well, if there is something in there, it belongs to somebody else, you're going to leave it alone. We've got a different culture going on now. And if we have to depend on the police to follow everyone around so that they obey the law.
You don't have enough policemen to do
it. You don't have enough policemen to do it.
You would need a policeman for every person out there.
And or you do what China does and have computer facial recognition and follows you around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when you end up violating the law, it pings the computer, and then they send somebody out there to get you. And if you do it enough times, the little pill that they put in your head, message is sent to it, and it explodes and kills you, and they come and pick up the body.
It's almost as good as my joke I was going to tell.
Well, I've got some more local news.
Okay, that's fine.
We seldom have enough local news.
Well, there are newly appointed board members to Catoosa County. On the alcohol board, Ron Ward and Rick Huggins. The tax assessor, Randall Franks and Dixon White.
Now, these are people that have been appointed.
Yes.
Okay.
Economic Development Authority, Stephanie Dickard and Ray Johnson and Katie Sponberger. And the Northwest Georgia Regional Commission Council, Stephen Henry.
Now, how do we know the name Sponberger? How do we know that name?
Well, I tell you what. Now that I think about it, this week I had to go by the rental car dealer there in Fort Oglethorpe Enterprise, and I ran into the young lady, one of the young ladies who is appointed to that economic authority. She comes to our Historical Society meeting. And she was kind enough to speak to me, and she told me she had just been appointed. So I'm
now the last one that you mentioned was what?
I went past it already, but Stephen Henry is on that board.
And that's the Northwest Georgia Regional Council of banjo pickers? Is that it?
It doesn't say what it is.
Possum hunters, coon hunters?
It doesn't specify.
Blue tick hound owners?
we can call Stephen and we could ask him.
Well, it'd be nice if they would identify what the council did.
It would be, but then, you know, your tax dollars, you would know what your tax dollars are being spent.
It's not the tax dollars' fault. It's the person that wrote the article.
Tell us about this police thing that was going on in Ringgold that you were talking about.
Ringgold Police Department has begun an automated traffic enforcement speed device program on Tennessee Street in front of the Ringgold Middle School, which is to increase safety for the students, the parents, the people. So if you're going 10 miles an hour over the school speed limit,
They take your picture.
Let me make sure I get where this is. Is this the road that connects over to Udawal Ringo Road, or is this the road that's right in front of the school?
It's on
Tennessee Street.
It's the one that was in front of Dr. Stevenson's demolished home.
Okay, all right.
So they had a 30-day waiting period. That is over now. So if you are going over 10 miles an hour while school is in session, and they've got that light saying school zone, and if the light's flashing, that means that you have
to slow
down.
What's the speed limit?
30 miles an hour while you're...
Well, now that goes down to 25 somewhere real close.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, school zone's 15 or 20.
School's in session.
It doesn't say the exact speed.
Do they give it to bicycle riders too?
I don't know.
If you're doing 10 miles an hour over 15, you can do 25 miles an hour and bicycle pretty easy.
The automated speed zone will be enforced on school days starting 1 hour before school starts until 1 hour after the end of the school day.
How are they going to give you a ticket if you're just running and you don't have a tag?
Well, if you're running over 25 miles an hour, they're probably going to give you an award for being a gazelle.
They're probably chasing you.
So they've already had some people who have gotten tickets who did not know about it. So if you're driving past the school and the lights are flashing, make sure you don't go over the speed limit.
Well, you shouldn't go over the speed limit around the school. You shouldn't go over the speed limit anywhere, but
especially school.
Really, you need to pay attention to the schools.
All right, right ahead. Let's take a break.
Okay, this family sat down for the family evening meal. I was telling somebody today that when I was a kid, we had dinner and supper, and he said he had never heard that about dinner as lunch. But, you know, I was raised down here, and he was up there somewhere in Tennessee. But this family sat down, and Tim, the little boy, said, "Daddy, is it all right for us to eat bugs?" And the daddy said, "Tim, we shouldn't talk about that at the dinner table. It's just not a good subject." So later on, after supper or dinner, whatever you want to call it, the daddy said, "Timmy, what was you talking about when you was talking about those bugs?" He said, "Well, Daddy, there was a bug in your potatoes, but don't worry about it. It's gone now."
Oh, the lambs were playing in the fields and the tulips were in flower. When I left the home I loved so well, oh, I'll ne'er forget the hour. Before me was the Atlantic wave to a home in Tennessee. And I left behind the girl I love, she's the Rose of Castlereagh. She may not have been a beauty queen, she may never be a rose. But to me she is the fairest flower that in the garden grows. And although I'm in America, across the Atlantic sea, sure, I'll always love my Roscommon girl, she's the Rose of Castlereagh. Way up in the north in old Tyrone, there's a pretty little girl I call my own. She's the sweetest rose that Ireland's ever grown. And as sure as the moon and stars above, I've fallen head over heels in love with the pretty little girl from Oma in the county of Tyrone. She wears my ring and tells a friend she's going to marry me. But best of all, she tells them all she's happy as can be. Oh, lucky me,
what she's done to me. There's nothing else my eyes can see but the pretty little girl from Oma in the county of Tyrone. Take me back where the grass grows the greenest, to a little emerald garden in the sea. Take me back where the girls are the prettiest in the world, and it lies in the heart of me. People ask me where I come from back in Ireland, Dungannon, Connemara, or Tralee. Dublin, Derry, Donegal, did a lot of living in them all, and I tell them they mean all the world to me. Take me back where the grass grows the greenest, to a little emerald garden in the sea. Take me back where the girls are the prettiest in the world, and it lies in the heart of me. The little boats are gone from the breast of Annalifi. The ferrymen are stranded on the quay. Sure, the Dublin docks are dying, and a way of life is gone. And Molly, it was part of you and me. Where the strawberry beds sweep down to the Liffey, you'll kiss away the worries from my brow. I love you well today, and I'll love you more tomorrow. If you ever love me, Molly, love me now. It was the only job I knew. It was hard but never lonely. The Liffey fairy made a man of me. Now it's gone without a whisper, I've forgotten even now. And it's over, Molly, over Kansas Sea. Where the strawberry beds sweep down to the Liffey, you'll kiss away the worries from my brow. I love you well today, and I'll love you more tomorrow. If you ever love me, Molly, love me now. If you ever love me, Molly, love me now.
I hate it when it quits on me early like that. But it does. Song's in, spoiler, it's supposed to. You want to do your history now?
Sure, why not? Why not? But back in the 50s, the law was that the legislature set the salary for the clerk of the court. Well, what that means is that the representative and the senator gets together and decides what they want, and then they tell that to the legislature, and legislature says, fine, it's your business up there, whatever you want. So the senator and the representative essentially set the salary for the clerk of the court. Well, it didn't take a whole lot of smarts to arrive with somebody that says, you know, we ought to be able to make a little money out of this. So they went and propositioned the clerk of the court, and they would raise his salary $5,000 if he had split it with
them. Oh, mate.
And I think I know who this is. I'll keep my mouth shut.
If you don't want to be sued, I would suggest you keep your mouth shut.
That's right.
So they talked to the clerk of the court. Essentially, he would get $2,500, and they'd get $1,250 apiece. And it's a win-win situation. Everybody wins. Everybody gets some money. So the clerk decided, well, it kind of took him aback a little bit. So the clerk says, well, let me think about it and come back in a few days. So they left, and he went into the vault there at the walk-in vault there at the courthouse and put in a microphone. And they came back.
A tape recorder.
Oh, yeah, tape recorder. They came back in 2 or 3 days, and they went into the vault, and they discussed the situation, how they ought to, how this thing's going to work. Well, they left, and he immediately took the recorder to the loyal opposition. Now, you know, the whole county is Democrat, but the county is also split wide open. You know, you had two factions. And so he gave the recorder to the other faction. And they were just overjoyed. And they printed up a pamphlet with a conversation on the pamphlet and called it the recorded truth. And spread it all over the county.
Made several hundred copies.
And
properly placed.
And it was timely because the election was coming up. And so they had the election. They turned out the senator. They turned out the representative. They turned out the clerk of the court. And they did not vote for the loyal opposition. They voted for a third party that didn't have anything to do with this mess. So it's interesting. We have football and all kinds of things to watch. But back in the 50s, politics was a state sport.
Yeah, it's the blood sport, no question about it.
Yeah,
that would have made quite a podcast.
Yes, it would.
To be watched. Has anybody got anything in particular? If not, I...
Black Dog mentioned it. We talked briefly about the Georgia winning the national championship.
Yeah. And it was only 65
to 7. Black Dog being a football expert can tell us all about it.
I wouldn't call myself. It was a good game if you like Georgia, so, I mean, it was good.
Well, like I said, after they got ahead 31-7, I said, well, I can sit. No, they got ahead by 31 points. I said, I can sit down now and relax and enjoy the game.
It was a good game, and, you know, Georgia did not let up the entire game.
Nope.
They kept on going and going, so... got to hand it to them.
Yeah, they played flawless football.
One good thing about that, those second and third string players are going to get to say they got to play in the championship
game. That's right.
Game.
Yeah.
They may never get anywhere.
That's right. That's a career breaker right there, just to get to be in the game for
that.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think some of the people that they put in were true freshmen.
Yeah,
so
they were.
They'll probably get the opportunity to start next year.
Yeah, but still, they got to play in a national championship game. You know, that's...
How many other people can say that?
I never did get to do that.
Well, now, I've got a question. Did Alabama have two-year back-to-back championships?
They did. Oh, that was in early... Was that in the early 90s?
No, I think that... It wasn't too long ago. I think 2003 and 4.
So that would have
been
under...
Might have been.
Under Nick Saban.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they made, hey, Georgia, well, they've got a chance to get a three-peat next year.
Oh, they could. They could very well win, sure enough. Anyway, I thought it was a interesting game. The Georgia fans were elated.
Oh, yeah.
They were. TCU fans didn't seem overjoyed with it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Are we going to talk about Hunter Biden tonight?
Yes, we are.
Joe Biden.
But before we do that, let's keep it a little elevated for a minute or two.
Okay.
We can stay elevated for a little while. We've been elevated so far. this might lead into it. This comes from the English Churchman, the January 13th edition, page 4, bottom of the page.
You can subscribe to that on the Internet, right?
You sure can. You sure can. Biden not invited to Benedict the 16th's funeral.
I think he asked that Biden not attend.
I think you're going to find that out in this article. I think that's right. You're right, Colonel. I'm surprised that you knew it.
He was not invited to attend
the funeral
of the
Pope.
Oh, okay.
That died. At a White House press conference held on the 4th of January, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked if President Joe Biden would be in attendance.
of the late Pope's funeral service in Rome. The White House press secretary announced EWTN journalist Owen Jensen's question by saying, "The U.S. ambassador to the Holy See," for those of you who don't know what the Holy See is, that is the Pope. That is what they call it. Joe Donnelly will, that's the U.S. ambassador, will represent the United States at the funeral of the Pope in line with the wishes of the late Pope and the Vatican. This is what their requests were. That is what their wishes were. So as the president said in his statement, as I'm sure you saw, he joins Catholics and so many others around the world mourning the passing of Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th. He will always remember the Pope's generosity and meaningful conversation they had when he visited the Vatican in 2011. Later press statements deflected from such a direct answer. Biden, who consistently describes himself as a devout and practicing Roman Catholic, is at odds with much of the Church's moral teaching. His advocacy for abortion is the most glaring in numerous press reports from the U.S. described. The discussion amongst Roman Catholic bishops that seems to be leaning towards barring pro-abortion politicians from taking Holy Communion. Wasn't Biden refused communion not too long ago by one of the bishops?
Yeah.
It is believed that Pope Francis has intervened to stop such a ban. The original video of the statement may be viewed on the www.americanwirenews.com website. Well, I thought that deserves some discussion. The President of the United States was barred from attending, not that he would attend, but it was specifically requested by the Pope that the President of the United States not be allowed to come to my funeral. That says a lot. We talked about
it. Does.
It was the continuing fight between the church and the state.
Yeah, that's true. But it also demonstrates that there is not only a fight between the church and the state, but a fight between the beliefs and actions of President Biden and the beliefs and actions of him as an individual.
Well, that's not the only place this is going on. I mean, I just saw a segment on YouTube about the Methodist Church, and we talked about that a little. And I found out some things I didn't know. First of all, the last General Assembly of the Methodist Church, it was in 2019, voted by not a heavy margin, but by a margin, to keep in the statement indicating that the church did not condone homosexuality, gay marriage, all that sort of thing. And so they kept that in their doctrine.
Doctrinal statement.
Yeah. And it's still there. But what's happened, and the reason that it's still there, is that the churches in Africa, the Methodist churches in Africa, are conservative and biblically oriented, and they're the ones that voted, the main ones that voted to make sure that it didn't change. But what's happened here in the United States is a lot of these districts or bishop, let's see, a bishop oversees a area, whatever it is, a district.
I think they call it a conference.
Conferences are not enforcing what's in the bylaws or whatever of the church. They're not enforcing it.
Well, they're not enforcing what's in the Bible either.
That's true. But they're not even enforcing their own doctrine.
Stated doctrinal statement, right, which is their interpretation of what the Scripture says.
And so what's happened is, I think these numbers are just fairly... I don't remember in detail, but there's like 20-something thousand Methodist churches, and I don't know, I think that's worldwide, 20,000. Well, already there have been over 2,000 of the churches have left.
And that's in America. Yeah, what, the 2,000 in America have left. And well, I think it's close to 20,000 in the United States.
Okay,
it's
well,
hard to believe. But
okay, maybe it's 20,000 in the United
right.
States.
20, I mean, it's the over. Largest denomination in the United States
yeah,
next
it's
to
over,
Catholics.
It's over 20,000. But anyway, it's like 2,200, 2,500, something like that have already left. And what they're saying is that it looks like there will be somewhere between 15% and 20% of the congregations will leave.
The main church
will be left. So out of the 20,000 and something, 15% to 20% of them will be gone. And they talk about the issues related to them leaving and everything. And it said that the district in North Georgia, the conference in North Georgia, who has a black homosexual
bishop,
a woman bishop,
yeah.
woman, anyway, has said there will be no permission for anybody to leave. So the hierarchy of the conference in North Georgia has said you can't leave, according to this comment. And so what that means is it's going to be very difficult for these people. So I don't know. I don't know how that will work.
Well, it's going to end up in court.
Yeah.
Because some of them left last year at a conference meeting, which was not the whole conference, and was approved. So I don't see how they can, under equal protection under the law,
right.
deny others the right to leave for the same.
Yeah, this commentary went into some detail about that, but it's just hard to imagine. You're going to try and force somebody who doesn't want to be there to remain. I just don't make sense.
Yeah, well, that's a change. There for a while, you could leave if you wanted to. It was just a matter of time, you know.
They said that they have till December 2023, according to the General Assembly agreement, for churches to leave.
But that's no longer.
But the North Georgia bishop, and I'm just talking about North Georgia now, said, "You're not leaving. We have made an assessment of our upper management here, and we've decided you can't leave."
The hookers that value the church.
Yeah.
You know, you can leave with you. It's the United States. You can leave if you want to. But the question is, who gets the church?
Yeah, that's the argument.
And you know what they've made.
Well, that's not just that. Who gets the building? Who gets the retirement?
Well,
retirement funds. How do you divvy up retirement funds?
Well, what they have said is it's not just a matter of them deciding to leave. They have to agree to make apportionments for a certain period of time. They have to agree to pay into the retirement funds that you're talking about. They have to agree to a lot of these things, even though they're leaving. And so I don't know. I don't know why they couldn't just say we're not going to pay anybody anything. We're right here. You want to talk to us? Just come and see us. You want to send the sheriff in here and have him block the front door? Just send him. But we're not going anywhere.
It's not going to be pretty. But, you know, what do you say? I mean, what are you? You know, what are you?
The homosexual thing has busted up most of the major churches.
That's true.
Protestant churches.
Well, you know, if you look back in history, if you just take the Presbyterian Church and look back in the history and looked at the splits that have occurred, and they have nearly all been related to doctrinal issues. And so it's not the first time. It's just this is probably one of the more egregious splits that's ever occurred.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what Protestant churches splitting is a good thing. What if they all got together in one church That would be a terrible
thing. Yeah, I agree. The only thing is the ones that are trying to leave are being, I don't know if the right word is persecuted, but having to major financial impact when they try and leave.
It's not a fair system.
No. Well, there's another thing, too, and that is those that are Bible-believing Methodist are the ones that contribute a bigger portion of the finances for the support of the church. It's the mediocre Easter Sunday and Christmas attendees that show up that might make up the majority in a particular congregation, and they're not writing the checks.
Well, you know, some of that may be true, but what little I have heard about, for instance, our local Methodist church, that may not be true.
Well, that's because most of them are school teachers.
Well, now, let's be careful.
That's who runs it. Let's be careful. All right. The next order of business that we could discuss, if you wanted to, is what little Bible trivia. As king of Judah, I ousted my grandmother from the throne because she made a pagan idol. Who was the king?
It was Cowan.
I was thinking about something else.
Thinking about something else? Let's see. Asa. A-S-A.
I would have never gotten that one.
No, I wouldn't remember that.
All right, you got a story for us, Flat Top.
Yeah, remember, there is always two sides to every story. Your side, their side, and the truth.
That's not right.
Well, I took a stroll on the old Park Holiday, I met a little girl and we started to talk. It was a fine soft day, and I asked good friend, what's a fella to do if her hair is black and her eyes are blue? And I knew right then I'd be taking a whirl. But I saw to the palm with a call me girl. Hey, hey, hey. And we were halfway there when the rain came down on the day. She asked me up to her flat downtown. It was a fine Sunday. So I took her hand and I gave her a tour. Everybody, but when I woke up, I was all alone. Had a broken heart and a ticket home. And I ask you, friend, what's a fella to do if her hair is black and her eyes are blue? I've been traveling around, been all over this world. Boys, I've never seen nothing. Here we go.
just because they found some hidden classified documents. You
in
get
his in his Corvette.
Well, now I heard this morning. I don't know if it's new, but that in his house.
Yeah.
In Delaware, they found stuff. Now, has all of this been found in his house before, or is this something brand new?
This is new.
More stuff that they found.
Well, more. What they found in the closet, they found like on November 2nd, before, right before the election.
And wasn't that in his library research facility?
That was,
it was a nonprofit that he had that where he was going to have some kind of. What is it Obama's got? What do they call it? It's presidential library.
It was
something like that.
It's the Penn Biden Center, which is at the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, but they say that today, they said they found some in his house.
They found
today.
Well, they found yesterday, they found some in his garage in a cabinet next to his Corvette.
Okay.
He has no idea how they got there. He has no idea what's in them. And the funny thing is, according to Ronnie Jackson...
Well, you see, I believe him. I believe him when he says
I'm
he
sure
didn't.
He's true. He didn't have a clue.
He doesn't know what planet he's on right now. But
he said, what house?
Well, according to Ronnie Jackson, in 2018, Hunter Biden claimed that he owned the house where Biden's Corvette is at. So the question is, it was in a locked cabinet. Who had access to that?
Yeah, is it? Does the house really belong to Joe, or does it belong to Hunter?
Hunter's claims.
And then he gave those classified documents to Hunter in his house so that he could sell them to the Chinese?
The question of the day is, because China is the number one donor to the Penn Biden Center. So, and there were documents in there for the Ukraine, Iran.
Well, wait a minute, that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, you're right. And Biden had no idea what they were. And, you know, the media is circling the wagon around him saying, well, this still isn't as bad as what Trump did, because Biden said he was sorry. Even though the vice president doesn't have the authority to declassify documents, only the president can. But the media and The View, they already gave how this is all going to play out. They like Biden, so... they forgive Biden. They don't like Trump, so Trump is guilty. But
well, that just goes to show that all relationships in life are conditional.
You know, hindsight's always 20/20. But why couldn't Trump, back before all this happened, before he left office, he wrote a letter and said that is attached to every box that they take. And said, everything in this box is declassified, signed, President Donald J. Trump, and attach it to the box.
Yep,
Why couldn't they have done that?
Sure, they could have done that. But see, the other thing is, I am not as distressed about all this. They talk about it being classified. Classified this, classified that. The people of the United States, through the electoral system and the electoral college, elected Donald Trump as President of the United States. As President of the United States, he's the head of the executive. He represents the people. He was given that office. He has the right to take anything that is in the executive branch, anywhere he wants to, and there may be some kind of a statute somewhere that says the president shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. So be it. He's still the President of the United States, and the people gave him the authority and the ability to do that. Same thing applies to Biden. The people elected him, and if he wants to take classified things somewhere, so be it.
Yeah, but the problem is that the classified documents that Biden took, he was not president at the time. He was vice president.
Well, now that's a different, that's a horse
so
of a different color.
He did not have the constitutional authority.
But the real problem would be is if Trump sold the classified documents if he was conducting espionage and selling those documents to China or Russia, some other place. He has the right to have them.
You know, he has all the right
And how many classified documents does Obama have in his library?
Oh, God, thousands upon thousands.
And how many does Kennedy have in his
library? Well, I've got a question. Is President Trump probably the only president who lost money while he was president?
I think so.
Yeah, probably. Well, maybe George Washington, because George Washington was the richest man in America at the time of the Revolution.
He lost money. Yeah, you're right. He did lose money.
He lost money. Of course, he didn't go broke either.
And so we have to go back.
Thomas Jefferson was broke.
Yeah, he was flat broke.
He was broke. He gave his library to the as part of his debt, which became the Library of Congress.
Well, Garland has appointed.
He also raffled off with lottery tickets Monticello, his plantation, and sold lottery tickets and deposited the money in his account, but he never held the lottery. So he just kept the money. And people have lottery tickets, and there was no drawing for the lottery.
Well, it sounds like a typical
and
politician.
I thought that's one of the best ways for a politician to raise money, I think.
There was never a drawing.
No, there's never a drawing. He said, well, I've decided not to do that. I'll just keep the money.
Well, Garland has appointed a special prosecutor to look
into it. And they couldn't enforce him to do it because gambling was illegal in Virginia. So it worked out pretty good. Now, I keep interrupting you because I just wanted to point out that this is not the first time scandalous things have happened in the executive.
Was Garland appointed by Trump or Biden?
No, Garland was appointed by Biden.
Biden, oh, yeah.
But he has appointed a special prosecutor out of Northern Illinois District who was appointed by Trump.
To look at what?
To look at what's going on with all of these documents that they found in Biden's possession.
And the Republican administration it was Obama that wanted Garland to be
on the Supreme Court,
and it was the Republicans that said, no, we'll wait till the election.
Exactly.
And so who did they appoint as head of the FBI? They appointed Garland. Who has a stronger motive to try and do something to the Republicans than Garland?
Oh, exactly. You know nothing's going to come of this. They're going to try to bury this story as quickly as they can.
Well, does this mean they're going to drop all this that they with Trump?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, no, because right before everything became public about the documents that they found in the Penn Biden Center, Garland said that he was going to investigate again Trump for the documents. So he's going forward with that. But, you know, this is perfect for Trump because they have to do the same thing to Biden that they've been doing to Trump. And I'm still waiting for when the FBI is going to raid all of Biden's houses.
When you talk about the FBI and the IRS, didn't I see that the House of Representatives passed a bill defunding the IRS additional.
Yeah.
Well, can they do that?
Oh, they can pass that, and then it goes to the Senate.
That's what I mean.
And
it's
then
not
the Senate has to pass it. And then if the Senate passes it, then Biden will veto it. They asked Biden about that at his press conference today when he was talking about these classified materials. Said, what are you going to do about this IRS agent? Says, well, I'm just going to veto it when it comes to my desk. So the 87,000 IRS agents are coming.
Well, wait a minute. I thought the House of Representatives had control over the budget.
They do. But the previous House of Representatives passed a budget for this fiscal year. And so that continues until January of next year.
Well, September, I think.
Or September. So for the next 9 months, they'll have 87,000 until, I don't know what is going to happen when that September rolls around because you're still not going to have control of the Senate and you're still going to have Biden as president. So the only thing they can do is shut the government down in September to fire the 87,000 IRS agents.
And the Republicans have to afford it.
So we have 85,000 IRS agents for a year.
That's right, for sure.
Next year, can the House of Representatives defund them?
No. Not as long as they cannot. Yes, they can defund them. But what they can defund them
and the bill will go to the Senate, and the Senate will put them back in, and then it'll go back to the House. And then they'll either shut down the government or they'll leave the 87,000 IRS agents in.
Well, that means that the House does not control the budget, the money.
Well, there is no budget. All money bills originate in the House. You cannot originate a money bill from the Senate. You cannot originate a money bill from the executive. The House originates money bills, but those money bills have to be approved by the Senate and the President in order for them to become law.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, then you have a budget for a year, supposedly. I mean, if they were doing it like they should every year, at the end of September, the federal year is over and a new year begins. And so,
yeah, but the fiscal year I think is in July.
It's the first of in September. So the first of October is the beginning of the fiscal year. So apparently, this last House of Representatives voted for instead of having a continuing resolution and just passing it, kicking the can down the road, they passed this huge bill.
That's right. That's why.
And it goes all the way till
October.
October.
That's right.
Because they were going September.
They were going out of office anyway, so they didn't care.
Yeah. So until. So this current House has no leverage.
No, McConnell.
I understand that. But how about the House next year?
Well, now, next year, what they could do, if that money had already been appropriated, what they could do is when it comes time to approve the budget for this coming, the year 2024, they could say, we're going to shut everything down, slam shut, until you take this out of this year's appropriation.
That's the only way they can do it.
They could do it that way.
But the problem is they'll already have been in for a year and everybody else
has. I know, but I'm just saying they could take it out.
But, you know, we could take McConnell and Cotton and all of the Senate Republicans that voted for this monstrosity who cut the legs out from under the House, knowing full well that the House was going to take control. And they did this, what, like 2 weeks before
guys find everybody who voted for Biden and audit their income.
Oh, no, they're going after us. That's who they're going after. They're not going after.
I'll tell you how they will decide who they're going to go after. It's part of the Pareto principle. They will look at the Federal Election Commission reports, and they will look for the individuals in every county in the United States and see who spent the most money for Republican candidates. And those people that have spent the most money for Republican candidates will be identified and marked as audit targets. And that's
it's interesting that they think that these people need to be armed. And they may be right. They probably do need to be armed.
Yeah, they do need to be armed if they are doing things that destroy people's rights, because people will not put up with it unless they are armed.
Well, it's interesting that they realize this.
Yeah.
And put it in the bill that they would be armed.
Yeah.
Well, there's another bill that the Republicans passed yesterday, the Abortion Survivor Bill.
Yeah.
And Republicans voted for it, all of them unanimously. The Democrats, with the exception of one, voted against it. And that bill is that if a baby is born, survives an abortion, that the doctor has to take care of the baby. And all of the Democrats voted against that. And so it tells you exactly where their mindset is and where they stand on all this.
Fun and games.
Yep. In Europe, the stock market has gone up 18% in the last 40 days. So it looks like Europe has taken all the information about recessions and all the other stuff and adjusted it and decided now's the time to get in. And it's something we should consider here. All the bad news is out. People look at it, study it, digest it. And our stock market may be the time to get in.
Don't you think they've looked at it and said the government is going to continue to print money? That's going to make the stocks worth more, and therefore get in the stock market now. And not only do you have the normal appreciation of the value of stock, but you also have the inflated value of the stock. And so now's a good time to get in.
I think so.
I think that's what they're talking about. So if you've got a 401k vested in the stock market, don't sell it. Leave it in there.
Well, the national...
I see where Powell, who is head of the Federal Reserve, has told the Washington elite that the Federal Reserve has no intention of getting into trying to get into the climate change business, trying to favor companies that are in the climate change orbit.
Oh yes,
he's got but one purpose, and that is to do away with inflation. Climate change is not his problem.
So they're not going to get involved in social action. Well, I guess that's good news.
Yeah, well, you're talking good. About climate change. I was reading, and I didn't go over it, but in Georgia, the two largest economic development projects in the state ever, apparently, are two electric vehicle manufacturing facilities. So two different companies are going to be making electric cars, one north of Atlanta, and I guess the other one's down in Savannah. Hyundai's making a plant
down
there.
So where are we going to charge these things up when you're driving to Savannah?
And that was just it. That's what I was thinking about. You know, this is all, I can't believe this is going to go anywhere. I mean, all of these people who are investing, these companies investing in electric vehicles, and you know all of the problems with electric vehicles. Why would you ever want to buy? They were talking about somebody who tried to make a trip to across the country. He's going to Canada somewhere from, I don't remember. It was a long, 1,000 miles or more in an electric vehicle. And it's in the wintertime, and it was snowing. And, of course, he stopped the first time to charge up his car, and it took him like an hour and a half because the car was so cold. It was so cold outside. The batteries were so cold. And so they charged it up an hour and a half. And then he drove another, 200 or 300 miles, and then he stopped again and charged it. And this time it took him 3 hours. 3 hours to charge his car. And said when he got where he was going, he took that car to Hertz, back to Hertz, and said, here, you can have it. And he got him a little old a Nissan SUV of some kind. Oh, he was going back to Florida. That's right. He was going to Florida. And so he drove that sucker all the way back to Florida instead of the electric car. And he was talking about how crazy a person would be if you went to Hertz. That's what he was talking about, Hertz. And you rented an electric car. You were out of your mind.
Well, here's something. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a warning to drivers that if they get into an accident with an electric, if they're in a car and they get into an accident with an electric SUV, that those electric trucks weigh 9,000 pounds. And a car only weighs about 3,000 pounds, so they're warning people to be careful and not get into an accident with an electric vehicle.
Yeah, I just don't see this happening. I cannot see it happening.
They've come up with another problem, and that is the vehicle is so heavy.
Oh, yeah.
What's it going to do to our road?
Well, the car is heavier, and you're right. It will do damage. A normal automobile... It takes 5,000 trips by a normal automobile to do the same damage that one tractor trailer. In other words, a tractor trailer can ride over the pavement one time, and it takes 5,000 trips by a car to do the same damage. Well, these electric vehicles are just going to tear up the roads even worse. So, but electric, think about an electric tractor trailer. How heavy that sucker must be. So I don't. I just think this this whole thing about batteries in an automobile to make it run is not going to go anywhere. They're perfecting the internal combustion engine. They're making, you know, every year they're doing things to improve it. So I just don't see.
I've got, you know, I've got the best of both worlds. I've got a hybrid, so it runs on gas and also electric,
yeah,
but I don't have to charge it up.
You're not charging it up. And they're talking about Georgia Power that in their agreement for the last rate increase. They told Georgia Power they were only allowed to put in, and why they're limiting them, I'm not sure, like 40 stations statewide in Georgia. And what they've told them is you have to put them, you cannot put them in a municipality anywhere. You have to put them out in the boondocks somewhere where nobody else would put one. So that they want Georgia Power to spend their money out in the boondocks somewhere, and then the retailers.
Now, wait a minute, back up. You're talking about putting the battery operated cars out in the country?
No, no, not the cars.
We're
talking about the charging stations. See, the problem with all these electric cars, one of the big problems is you've got to charge them somewhere.
And you've got to congregate them to charge them.
Yeah,
you got to have 100 people waiting to be charged
up.
Well,
yeah, or if you're driving along and you're in, you're between the capital of Nebraska and Wyoming somewhere, and you're wanting to charge it, you're in big trouble. So that's one of the problems is the infrastructure that goes with it.
But there's another problem that I see. See, if we all are about out of gas on the freeway at the same time, and we get in line at the Kangaroo up here,
it takes three minutes
to fill his tank up. Takes me maybe 3.5, Colonel maybe 2, maybe take you 4 or 5 with your pickup truck. If I'm in line to get a charge on my electric car,
and it takes
2.5 hours,
minimum 2.5 hours,
and there's 6 other people in front of me, then I'm thinking it's going to be day after tomorrow before I can get it charged up.
You're camping out for the night waiting to get charged.
Now, how do you solve that? Well, what you do is you create a 40-acre drive-in theater charging station, and everybody pulls in, just like going to watch a movie, and they all plug in next to this thing, and then you can all charge at the same time. Otherwise, You've got a continual line.
Well, you know, it's not a big problem right now, I don't think, because there just aren't that many. In other words, it's an anomaly to see an electric car on the road. I mean, you're driving along, and I've gotten to where I can identify one. I was coming to Ringo yesterday, and I saw one pass me going the other way. So, I mean, there are a few out there, but there aren't many.
Well, listen, if I've worked in Ringo and I lived, like I do, I live 3 miles out of town, and I don't go any further than East Ridge, and I can charge it up at home, then an electric car would work for me.
It'd be perfect, but...
No.
Well, not perfect.
You didn't hear me say perfect. I said it would work.
It would work. You know,
there is a big difference in those two words.
The Hyundai dealership in Ringgold, they've got in their showroom, they've got a used Tesla for sale, and I got in that car and I looked, and I got to tell you, for what they want for that car, I don't know if you've ever sat inside a Tesla. It is the cheapest quality. I mean, you could find the cheapest Japanese car out there, and it has better quality than what's in a Tesla.
Yeah, the whole thing just doesn't make sense to me. And if people really understood where power comes from,
but
they would stay away from these electric vehicles.
Is there a limit to how many lines you can bring from one power station? I mean, can
Well, I mean, it's just...
Can four cars get around the same recharger?
Oh, I'm sure they could. I'm sure they could, when they make a charging station, oh, yeah, they could do just like Bucky's up here that has 100...
Gasoline pumps.
It's got 100 gasoline pumps, so that means it's... I don't know if you can get 100 cars or 200 cars.
That means
cars.
You would have 100 cars sitting in front of that charging station for 2.5 hours.
Well,
you could have 100 cars sitting in front of the pumps for 3 minutes.
Speaking of gas, the Georgia tax went back on the gas.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. Well, you
well,
knew
I
that
filled
was
up yesterday because Black Dog told me, so I won't ever have to pay for that gas. No, wait a minute. That's right. I will have to fill
well,
up.
Well, the gas
as long as you don't burn what you bought yesterday. Yeah.
Well, you know, we shouldn't be too complaining about that because that's where the revenue comes from to maintain the road. I mean, they got to have money from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
To build the roads and to maintain them, so I don't begrudge.
We've still got some of the lowest gas prices in the nation, though, even at $3.
Yeah, but that gas tax goes away when you go to a charging station.
Yeah, right.
That's well,
right.
Then they start charging you a user fee.
The car you're driving weighs a whole lot more than a gasoline car does, so it's tearing up the road a whole lot more than.
I don't have an electric car.
I know. I'm talking about people that do.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I'm just
there.
You still got your Rover?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, the one thing people don't understand is they think that an electric vehicle.
The one thing people don't understand.
One of the things people don't understand is they think that when they own an electric vehicle that it's zero emission. What they don't understand is that you have to burn gas or natural gas or coal to generate electricity.
Probably
to
coal.
They're
probably burning coal.
Well, now the latest thing is Biden says he's going to ban gas stoves.
Yeah, they already said the commission came out yesterday and said, no, we're not going to do that because of the pushback.
Well, now, I saw on the...
You'd have to go back to electricity if you do that.
The news last night said that the governor of New York is going to stop using gas.
Well, that's the governor of New York, but the federal government... Yeah. The agency, originally, they said that they were going to think that they were looking at getting rid of gas stoves because AOC said that it contributes to asthma, and AOC, she's an expert on the environment. So.
Well, I think it's a great idea because that's another reason for people to move to New York.
Yeah, absolutely.
Depopulate New York, that's one way. Maybe that's the plan.
Or maybe I had it backwards.
It's being done.
Yeah.
California, New York, Oregon, and Washington are all losing population, and they're going to Texas and Florida.
I was at a restaurant night before last in Dalton, I won't say where it was, and there was a couple that came in, and they were both wearing a mask. They went up to the counter.
Were they driving an EV?
Wait a minute, I got to tell you. And my wife and I both look at each other like, I don't understand this. And then when we saw them leave, they got in their car, and they were still wearing the mask. So they wore the mask in the car and drove home. So I guess they wear a mask around the house.
I got to tell you the best thing.
Now wait a minute. And this leads directly into, I know what Black Dog's going to say because he's told me this story 3 times, and you really need to hear it.
My niece, her husband has a friend who I know him. I like him. He's a nice guy. He's kind of nerdy, but nice guy. Him and his dad, because he still lives with his dad, and they drank the Kool-Aid 100%. At their house... Now, they've both been vaccinated. They both had the boosters. They both had COVID. But in their house, they wear the mask. It's only the two of them in the house, but they wear the mask. And when they eat their meals, they eat in separate rooms. And they take the mask down just enough to put the food in their mouth, then they put the mask back up.
And what is this called? Virtue signaling or...
No,
or just stupidity.
I think this is just plain insanity. Virtue signaling would be going into a restaurant and doing that and then looking and admonishing the people not doing it. When you're in your own house and it's just the two of you, and you're both wearing a mask? Yeah, that's just plain insanity. So
it's still going on.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Well, my ex-brother-in-law, when he goes over to my niece's house, he will not eat in there because he wears a mask. And they don't wear masks. And so last time he was over there, he had his nose pressed up to the corner in the living room, and he was eating cashews, and he would take the mask down enough to put a cashew in his mouth. And my niece looked at him and said, is the air any different in the corner of the room than it is in the middle of the room? And he couldn't answer that. He just gave her a blank stare. So,
all right, is it? Let's read the editorial of the English Churchman, go to a break, and then we'll
probably do something else, and then we'll be done. What do you think?
Sounds right.
You ready?
No, hang on.
Just a minute. This is the editorial from the Right Reverend Christopher D. Pierce from the Friday 13th of January. Gosh, this was Friday the 13th. I just now realized that.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
You'd have to stay home tomorrow.
Yeah, I will. When the delusion and judgment is the heading of the editorial. And it is his editorial is as follows. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he told them and us that before the coming of the lawless one, that God would send a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. How else can we explain how so many have abandoned basic Christian teaching and adopted false teaching? Many of our bishops take pleasure in the unrighteous position of the LGBT advocacy group. A greater number of parochial clergy openly embrace sins that a generation before would have been thought universally sinful nonsense. This is not a millenarian rant. This publication will make no prediction about the timing of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That said, how else can one explain why so many of our leaders cannot express basic Christian doctrine in a biblically faithful manner, other than we are in a time when God has decided to send a strong delusion to them? Consider what comes from the mouths of so many in authority. When they say something that is nothing short of heretical with a straight face, you might well ask, where in the world did he get that rubbish? Or, surely a 9-year-old in Sunday school knows better than that. Is that not evidence that God has kept his promise to send a strong delusion to those happy to believe a lie? Excuse me. There is an important corollary that goes along with the above undertaking. In 1 Peter 4, you know, Chris Pierce does a good job at getting to the point. I got to give him credit. He really does get to it. In 1 Peter 4, the apostle tells Christians scattered around the Roman world that they are not to be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. That's verse 12. The church is to expect trials and sufferings. The church is to expect trials and sufferings. Peter goes on to write something to simultaneously humble us and cause shivers to run up our spines. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those
who suffer according to God's will and trust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. There are rough seas ahead for those who desire to remain faithful. Some have not realized this yet and are surprised such days are upon the church. They will learn and hopefully adapt. Their souls will survive unscathed, even if their minds and bodies do not. What should we do in the meantime? By the grace of God, remain faithful. For those in teaching ministries, do as Jesus and the apostles did. Call people to repentance and faith, irrespective of their station in life. Church members should likewise make every effort to live in light of the grace and mercy of our Savior and share the hope and lives within. Remember, we win because Jesus has already won. Delusion and judgment are just part of what we have to endure before we get home.
He put some thought into that, didn't he?
He sure did.
He really did.
It's going on in the church everywhere. Now, yeah. Flat Top's got something funny for us.
It has just been brought out on the news. As many as four elected officials have not been accused of any sexual harassment this year.
Mall of Kintyre, oh mist rolling in from the sea. My desire is always to be, oh Mall of Kintyre. Far have I traveled, and much have I seen. Dark distant mountains with valleys of green, past painted deserts, the sun sets on fire as she carries me home to the Mall of Kintyre.
Shut up. We
We are on the air.
Where are all these teachers at?
We better act right.
Well, I hope that discussion was not listened to by the audience.
No, I didn't have to part it up.
Okay, all right. Who's going first? You?
I don't know.
Are we done?
Anybody well, I don't know.
What else you got on the list? Oh, you were talking about the letter you got.
Yeah, there was a gentleman that listens to us up in Suwanee, Tennessee, and he sent me a couple things. I'm not prepared to. We don't have enough time to talk about it, but I will. He sent me. He brought these things to me. One is called Mandate, the bimonthly magazine of the Prayer Book Society. The Prayer Book Society, you know, the Anglican Church has a prayer book that mandates their order of service and the like. And they have a society, and he brought this by because we talked about the prayer book and the Anglican Church, what was going on there. And then he brought me something called Life Issues Connector, how our words shape the debate. And I think if the Colonel would be good enough to read this for next week, and we can discuss that, because I think he's a wordsmith. The Colonel's kind of a wordsmith.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's got three published books.
Three published books, that's right. And then he also gave me the Tennessee Conservative flyer. It's news that conservative Tennesseans can trust, and it's a list of news places to get news that would be reflective of the, I guess, of conservative ideas or maybe not liberal ideas. And then this is interesting, and I didn't know they still had this. This is October, November 2022 from Alton, Illinois, and it's called the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Hmm. So Phyllis Schlafly has had, and of course she's deceased now, but apparently they continue her report, and this is truly an interesting thing, and I'm going to ask the engineer to read this and report on it next week. It's called Dropbox Dems Take Another Election, which will be a nice thing to discuss next week.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of spreading the workout. I'm giving homework. I mean, you being a part-time substitute teacher, you can identify with the necessity of distributing homework to the class.
I can see how you're getting out of the work.
Yeah. I guess, Black Dog's over here pointing like he wants one of them.
Yeah,
that's a website.
So anyway, I give that to him. So he can report on the news sources. And I'll report on the mandate, and so we'll have something to talk about next week, folks. What is it? Send us your cards and letters. We will participate in whatever you want us to.
Absolutely.
Just don't call in and ask us to do anything.
No,
because we're not going to answer the phone.
If they send us cards and letters, who's going to read them?
Well we have
assign somebody to
read them. We'll assign Black Dog to do that.
Gee, thanks.
All right, what the Bible says under the topic, parents. Colossians 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged.
Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart.
Psalms 127:3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward.
2 Corinthians 12:14. Here for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obliged to save up for their parents, but parents for their children.
That's an interesting verse.
Yeah.
Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother.
Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
And is our custom. And
as is our custom, at the end of each show, we read from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is as follows. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Be safe, be good, shop, Ringo, read your Bible every day and pray for our country. It needs help.
Did y'all hear?
Well,